At this point, if you're trying to find out if someone has a traumatic brain injury, you do a brain scan. Even detecting it, though, doesn't necessarily help. There are very few treatments at this point for traumatic brain injuries. We've heard a lot about this in relation to NFL players and concussions, but it turns out it's a different kind of injury and also a different challenge for detection when it involves an explosion such as our troops are exposed to. 320,000 American troops have sustained traumatic permanent brain injuries, and these are injuries that just a few years ago, nobody really survived them. And joining us this morning is Dr. David L. Brody. He's the author of a new study on diagnosing traumatic brain injury, also an assistant professor of neurology at Washington University in St. Louis. So, Dr., explain to me why when someone has a brain injury from an explosion, why doesn't that show up on a CT or an MRI scan?
Good morning. It appears that the reason that these injuries don't show up on CT scans or conventional MRI scans is because a lot of the injury is to the white matter of the brain. This is the wiring in the brain that helps one nerve cell connect with another nerve cell on another part of the brain. And the CT scans and conventional MRI scans that we've been using for many years are not sensitive to injury to the wiring. We've been using a new type of scan called diffusion tensor imaging, which is very sensitive to injuries to this white matter, the wiring of the brain, and that's where a lot of the interest has been in recent years.
So that means that this, when somebody's exposed to an explosion and is injured, and perhaps you use a new diagnostic method to find out they do have a traumatic brain injury, does that mean it's a fundamentally different injury to the brain than, say, if I was playing football and got smacked really hard?
That's a really important question. We don't know the answer to that right now. What will be required is to use these same methods on both people that have had blast-related traumatic brain injuries and brain injuries from other mechanisms, such as car accidents or falls or sports injuries or assaults. And this is an area of great ongoing interest for our group and many other research groups in the world. But the answer to that question is to be determined.
I mean, one of the real frustrating consequences of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are the TBI problems and the dearth of treatments that exist. Is this a positive story this morning, a real breakthrough for doctors such as yourself who are facing these very frustrating TBI injuries, both in the subtle and the sort of blunt trauma zone where it's very, very difficult to treat over the long haul?
I would characterize this as a small but important step forward. It's not the end of the story. It might be best described as the end of the beginning. There's obviously a great deal more work to do before we really understand what these injuries consist of, before we really understand specifically how various parts of the brain, when they're injured, affect various functions of the person, their emotional control, their cognitive processes, their thinking, memory, balance and coordination, organization, planning, the list goes on. And each of these functions has a very specific parts of the brain that control it.
I mean, tell us a story. You're talking about a veteran who's having these problems and is yet being told, perhaps by doctors, that there's nothing wrong with their brain. Now there's suddenly an answer.
There is an answer potentially in the future. Now, I'd like to emphasize, it's very important, that this method that we used is a research method. It's not available yet for clinical practice. Now, the fact that as a research method it looks to be interesting and useful means that it puts the ball back in our court to bring it quickly to clinical practice. We don't know for sure whether that's going to be possible. There's a lot of challenges before that will be feasible, but we really hope so. And this, again, as I said, puts the ball into our court to see if we can move it into clinical practice relatively quickly. It obviously has to be confirmed and repeated. That's the scientific method.
We're speaking with Dr. David Brody, author of a new study about traumatic brain injuries and an assistant professor of neurology at Washington University. Although, doctor, even though you're still in the research stages, it is kind of fascinating that this could lead not only to ways in which you could better diagnose traumatic brain injuries when they don't show up on a CT or MRI scan, but possibly a better way to equip a soldier, make them a helmet which is fundamentally different from a football helmet or a bicycle helmet, but will protect them from injuries from explosions.
This is really one of the dreams of the research that I'm doing and many others, again, around the world who have been doing this kind of thing, is if we can really understand what the effects of explosive blasts are on the brain, we might be able to design better helmets, better protective equipment in general, because our helmets are wonderful for what they're designed to do, stop bullets and fragments or protect the head from impacts. But they were never intended to protect against blast injuries.
I know, but David, you know, I just have to say, I've been to Walter Reed. I mean, maybe we should just end war and then come up with a better helmet, buddy, you know?
That would be fine with me.
Yeah.
Dr. David Brody is a senior author of the new study about traumatic brain injury, assistant professor of neurology at Washington University in St. Louis. He spoke to us from Germany. Thanks, doctor.
Thank you very much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.